by building a personal brand centered around you, who you are, your story, what you're going through, what you've been through, it allows people to connect with you in a much deeper way. And then beyond that, it's going to set you apart, because a lot of people can talk about the same topic, but nobody has your exact story or your unique experiences or your exact unique expertise. And so you're able to confidently show up and confidently provide value, because it's hinging on who you are and owning who you are versus owning, oh, I have to only be known for this one certain topic. And so in a market that can get saturated, a personal brand allows you to stand out.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. My name is Kim, your podcast host, business mentor, and audio storyteller. This show is a space to inspire through conversations and community to help us keep connected, keep inspired, and keep moving towards our goals. Expect to hear honest conversations and real life experiences from entrepreneurs at every stage of business and from a wide range of industries. Find your confidence, see what is possible, and build the legacy that you have dreamed of. Let's get started. Hi, Kalia. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And I would love for you to just introduce who you are, what you do, and who you serve.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, my name is Kalia, and I have been in the creator economy and influencer marketing space for 9 years now. I got started when I was 17. I'm 26 now, so I've been in here for a minute. And I really started out as a blogger. I fell in love with the idea of working with brands, and no one was willing to chat through with me or mentor me, even if I offered to pay them, on how to be successful monetizing brand partnerships. So I committed to figuring it out myself. And through trial and error, I did just that. And I started getting questions myself of, how are you doing it? How are you being successful? And I made a commitment that if I did figure it out, I would serve other people in any way that I could and provide that education, really pay it forward. And so I got into the educational side of things. I started launching courses and coaching and different digital products that would really help creators monetize through brand partnerships. That evolved into consulting then for brands. So kind of going to the flip side, where I do consulting for brands that are wanting to leverage influencer marketing and, you know, collaborate with different content creators and influencers. And then I started a talent agency at the end of 2022, where now I represent content creators and influencers with one of my best friends. We run it together.
That is crazy amazing. And what a journey from 17 to 26. Like, can I just get you to personally coach my daughter? She's 19 and she just is finishing her second year of business, and she has no idea what she wants to do with it. And I'm like, there are so many opportunities in the online space right now. It's kind of insane.
It really is.
What you took in school then? Like, what did you...
So I did go to school for marketing. So I have my bachelor's in marketing and international business. But I will say, I am not a big advocate of college. I was very, very privileged where my dad sent me to college and I wasn't released with any student loan debt or anything like that. So it was a huge blessing for sure. And definitely an opportunity I couldn't pass up. But I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was the kid that was selling stuff out of her lockers, or, you know, selling golf balls to golfers if we were around a golf course and stuff like that. So I always knew. I didn't know exactly what it looked like. And so the blog for me starting that at 17 was kind of a trial to see if I just start talking about things that I love and documenting the things that I'm already doing, could something come of it? And then obviously something did. But back then, that was 2015, before the creator economy and influencer marketing space is what it is today, where people don't scoff at you as much anymore if you say, I want to be a creator full-time, or I want to be an influencer full-time, or I want to have a profitable personal brand. People aren't like, oh my gosh, who are you? You still have some, but it's not seen as much of a just a hobby the way that it used to be.
I don't know. Most of my friends still don't clearly understand what I do here. You know, we do come from a traditional landscape. And as I'm pretty new still in this area, 4 years this spring. So I'm still learning so much and still growing, but it has literally blown my mind. The people that I have met, the opportunities that I've had, and I feel like I'm just starting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a parent, even, I want my kids to have something. I want them to experience college life in some capacity. But I am literally a huge proponent of, listen, like, get 1 year, get 2 years, get four. I don't care how many years you get. Just, I want you to experience it. But I want you to be really open to what is possible outside of the traditional landscape because, yeah, like go to school for 4 years or 6 years and then work in that business or in that, you know, with that corporate job until you max out your pension and you're 60 some years old. And I'm like, I just knew it wasn't for me either, but it took me way longer than it took you. So that is super, super inspiring and exciting that you've had that journey. Before we dig into a little bit more, I'm getting excited about all the things. But I love actually just asking and starting out the conversation with what is your favorite platform to show up for, to market and promote your business? And I know you have a few things going on, but what do you naturally gravitate to?
Yeah. So I've always naturally gravitated towards Instagram. That's where I started. That's just my home. That's where everything began and where I initially started developing community. So Instagram is my go-to, but with the recent introduction of Threads, I love Threads personally. I know that that is super controversial, but it's actually the easiest. The two easiest places for me to show up is Threads and then Instagram Stories specifically. And with Threads connecting to Instagram, it has pushed so much exposure and new traffic for me to Instagram. It resulted, I just hosted an in-person event this past weekend and I had multiple girls come up to me and say, I found you because of Threads. And then I saw you doing this event and I knew I had to come. And I was like, oh my goodness, no way. So it works and it's working. And so Instagram and Threads collectively are my two favorites.
Well, that's crazy because I've had Thursdays are my podcast recording days. And the two that I had today, including you, I both found from Threads.
Oh my gosh. See, it works.
It's so crazy. And you know, it's funny because when it started, I was like, yeah, I'm interested. I'll check it out because I'm very like open-minded. And then I kind of lost momentum through the holidays and, you know, early January, people started talking again on there. And I was like, what's going on? And so then I jumped back on and they're different conversations. And I think you're 100% right that it is driving different people from all different sectors. And it's just kind of an easy place to connect instead of being so, you know, like I think we overthink all the content and all the things that we need to have, making sure it's showing up the right way on Instagram and some of the other platforms. But on Threads, that's not it. I feel like that's not the vibe there. It's way more show up who you are, just give some insight or some inspiration or some thoughts that you're having. And really the other key piece, and maybe you know different, is just communicating with other people and engaging in what they're posting.
Yes, I was going to say that it's so low lift because it's really simple to post organically and get something up. You know, it doesn't take nearly as much time as a TikTok or an Instagram reel or any other kind of video, you know, that we're traditionally used to posting, even on stories. Just get some verbiage. What's your thought of the day? What are you drinking right now? What are you working on in the moment? And then being able to add to different conversations by just replying still pushes traffic your way, still gets you out on the feed that we see day in and day out just by saying, hey, love this, or congratulations, or awesome to see, or cheering you on, whatever. I do a lot of hype and celebrating of people's wins. And so it's been really cool to see that even that pays off too. You know, you end up getting connected to the right people, or you end up having great conversation, or getting to add to, you know, certain dialogue that's going on. So I'm a big Threads advocate.
So cool. And I know you just mentioned, and I did see that you just held an in-person event. You used to have more of those, right? Before COVID, is that what happened? And are you seeing an uptake in trend now that we are out of all of that and we've been in our own kind of like corners of the world? People are like starting to like be... Because I just went to my first in-person event in September. I flew down to Dallas for the first time. And it was the coolest feeling and vibe to be around these people that I have been working with in the online space in some capacity. We knew each other from the similar circles. But being able to connect in person is a whole nother thing. And you could tell that people are wanting more. And is that what you're seeing now?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, absolutely. It's crazy because when I was in college, I actually thought that I would graduate and host events full time. So on one hand, I was running my business from a brand partnership perspective, doing different collaborations on my blog and then starting to push those over into social media. A couple years in, I started a company called Gal Getaway, and I would host retreats all over the nation. I went all the way from Florida to Hawaii. We did Austin, Texas. Then I hosted a conference for almost 200 people. I did workshops like what you saw this past weekend. I did, you know, intensives. I did all different kinds of things. And I love hosting. I love getting community together. I love leading different workshops or teachings that are very hands-on, very actionable. And when I graduated in August of 2019, and I'd moved back home with my parents. And I said, well, I'm just going to take this time to restructure and figure out, okay, what do I want to host at the beginning of 2020? Obviously, that did not happen because everything else did and the world shut down. And so I spent the last 4 years basically restructuring my business to be sustainable through the online education that I was providing, digital products and courses, coaching, things like that. And when it was about mid-2023 that I just remember having this moment thinking, I love brand partnerships, but man, do I miss events. I miss them so much. And so we started planning, my team and I started planning for Freedom to Flourish, which is the event that we just hosted. And we put 6 months of blood, sweat, tears, and lots of work into that. And then we finally got to bring it to life and, you know, kind of reap the benefits of all the planning that we had done this past weekend. And it was so cool because a lot of the girls that I'd actually connected with in 2020, because we were all online, what else did we have to do except connect online and hang out virtually? A lot of them actually came out to that event. And so I'd been friends with them for 4 years, if not more, and finally got to hug them and meet them in real life. So it was so surreal. I cried multiple times during the day because it was so exciting. But a lot of the conversation was the same of, this is my first event in years, or I've been itching to get back out there and connect with people and hug people and be in a space of other like-minded women. And it was really cool getting to facilitate that because it's, again, one of my passions, but I'm also seeing this really deep need for it after coming out of so much isolation and so much virtual connection. We're really craving getting back together in real life and meeting in real life. And so I expect us to see significantly more events hosted this year by brands, but then also by creators themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine how much work, time, and energy is spent putting into hosting a one-day event, let alone two or more. And I think we are wanting, I'm glad you said that you create events that have actionable like pieces in there, because we get in this like cod of learning, growing, but we want to do too, right? Like we are action takers. That's why we're entrepreneurs. And to be able to build that into an in-person event, I think is super key and good. And yeah, we just want human connection at the end of the day. I mean,
totally.
That's why I do a lot of this, because it's a way to like, you know, make ourselves more human again and to have these conversations with people that really continue to inspire. And I just love it. So I could see why you wanted to get back into it. And I love hearing that. And I also think a really important piece to let people know is you don't have to travel all over the place. Like me going from like, I'm from Alberta, Canada, to go all the way to Dallas. That was like a trip. And I extended it. I made a bit of a holiday out of it for sure. But there are things that are happening locally too. And in some of our bigger centers. And you know, it's important for us to reach out, and we're not used to doing that, but I think it's good for us.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah. We spend so much time online, and yes, this is important. And yes, it's great that we get to connect virtually with people from all over the world, but that will never surpass the feeling of getting to sit across from someone in person, having conversations, having breakthrough moments, talking about things and saying, you feel like that? Oh my goodness, I do too. Can we talk about this more? Can we, you know, get a coffee and continue the conversation or whatever that might look like? It's so powerful and so impactful. And we have a group chat for all the girls on Instagram. And it's been really cool to see the conversations even post event where they're saying, hey, I'm going to be in Orlando. Does anyone want to come up and hang out for a content day? Or anyone want to grab coffee? Or I'm in Tampa, or I'm here, or how can we all get together again? And then one of the girls sent a massive Airbnb, and we were all like, let's just get a big house and just stay for the whole weekend, you know, and just continue to party. So it's really cool because you can feel it. It's inexplainable, the atmosphere of being in a room full of supportive, community-driven, like-minded women that just want to see you win and are there to learn, but are also there to provide value to one another and not just there to take.
Well, I think that's the key, right? When you are surrounded by people that get it, we're here to lift each other up, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not about outdoing one another. It's about lifting each other up. And And that's where you're going to find true success. So yeah, that's amazing. Are you going to plan more now that you've got that one under your belt?
Yeah, the plan is to do more. I am just strategizing and also praying through what that actually looks like if it ends up being a retreat. And it's a few days because the event we hosted, it was only 3 hours. And it was very much a test to see how much time is going to go into it, to plan it, obviously, but then also to sell tickets and to get the right people in the room and then plan out all the small details from the cocktail napkins to, you know, the poppy wall to what kind of breakfast we're having and how's everyone sitting and all of that. Oh, and so I'm debating if I want it to be a retreat and kind of a longer weekend where we get together for, you know, a Friday through a Sunday or something, because I've done those before. I really miss those. And it's just a giant girls' business and play and fun slumber party. It's the best time ever. So if I want to do something like that, or I want to do maybe a longer just single day event. So regardless of what I choose, I'm 100% going to be doing more. I just released my events wait list too, because tickets sold out really quickly. We sold out 3 weeks before the actual event this past weekend. And so there's definitely a need and a desire for them. And I would love to, you know, fill that need by hosting more. So more coming for sure. Just TBD on when and where.
That's exciting. I'll be keeping tabs on it for sure. I just think it's super exciting and something that I don't think is going away. It's just going to keep building on.
Workplay is the last branding solution you will ever need. Your Workplay team is your brand photographer, your brand designer, social media manager, and your creative direction bestie. Here to make your Pinterest board dreams a reality with one system, one team, and one flat monthly fee under $500. And no, there's no catch. Your brand is your power. Workplay wants to help you create it fiercely. DM me on Instagram, Workplay, to learn more.
Let's get into like building a personal brand, because I know this is your area of expertise and I know you've got thoughts around this and I can't wait to hear it, because I know it's invaluable to have that as a, you know, small business owner, as a solo entrepreneur, or if you are a solo entrepreneur and growing a smaller team, it still needs to be you. And it's hard for a lot of us to be in the front when we're not used to that, right? We're used to these traditional jobs that keep us kind of in the background. So what's your advice for that? And what do you see happening in this new year of personal brand building and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I really think we're in the era of having a personal brand. We have been boxed in by being told constantly that we have to have a niche and pick one singular thing. And if you don't pick one thing, you're being dumb and you're not following the strategy. And if you choose multiple things, well, you're never going to be able to monetize that. And so then you feel stuck between two bad ideas or bad decisions. And you're like, well, which one do I actually choose? What's going to work? And so I'm big on building a profitable personal brand, because I agree that there should be a level of strategy that's important, but there also should be a level of, we don't need to be boxed in. We shouldn't be boxed into having to choose one thing, because we are so much more than that. And as we evolve and change, our businesses are inevitably going to follow. And we should have the space and the margin to be able to welcome that growth without feeling like, well, I have to hide this part of myself or hide these certain interests because it doesn't fit within the niche. When you are the niche and your niche is your personal brand, everything that makes up who you are as an individual, as a creator, as an entrepreneur, it all falls under the umbrella of your personal brand. And so then you're able to monetize through a myriad of different ways versus, oh, I can only do brand partnerships, or, oh, I could only do events, or I could only do speaking or something like that. And so it's so important that we're building a profitable personal brand to make sure, again, we are making money, but we're not boxing ourselves in. And the reason that it's important is number one, it's going to attract the right people. You don't want just any audience, obviously, following you on social or engaging in your content. You want the right audience, people who want to engage and connect with you, not only as a business owner, but who you are as an individual, and they're taking action. They're not just liking, but they're commenting, or they're relating, or they're sending you a DM, or they're sharing your content with other people. You want to have people that are resonating with who you are, right? They're actually buying your offers. They're supporting you. They're bringing friends to your event, or they're encouraging other people to get your digital product or your course, or, you know, to work with you as a coach. And so it's really possible to attract the right people while not just having one certain thing that you talk about, my personal brand is very much attractive to other people because I'm very relatable. And the way that I communicate things is not up here at the highest level and you can't understand it. It's let me meet you where you're at. Let me grab your hand and let's do this together. And right. I'm very open about my story with mental health. I'm very open about my journey of starting a business very young and getting a lot of hate for that. I'm very open about rejections and failures and things when it's not going really well. Mm-hmm. And sharing that invites people into the story, not just to the success that they're experiencing, right? Because social media is such a highlight reel. And so by building a personal brand centered around you, who you are, your story, what you're going through, what you've been through, it allows people to connect with you in a much deeper way. And then beyond that, it's going to set you apart because a lot of people can talk about the same topic, but nobody has your exact story or your unique experiences or your exact unique expertise. And so you're able to confidently show up and confidently provide value because it's hinging on who you are and owning who you are versus owning, oh, I have to only be known for this one certain topic. And so in a market that can get saturated, a personal brand allows you to stand out. It's also going to increase your trust and your credibility. There was actually a study that showed that people are more likely to trust somebody with an established personal brand when they're showing up online, which is really interesting. Yeah. And so when they see, oh, I know Kalia will do this, or I know Kalia talked about this, they could see a post and not even see my face and be like, oh my gosh, that's Kalia. Or the way that I show up on stories, they maybe don't click on the bubble, but they're just like scrolling through and it's not even of me, but just the way that I show up and the way that I communicate, it's very recognizable to my community and my audience that they're like, oh, that's her, you know? And so beyond that too, it also has really great networking power. And I'll kind of end on this because I'm a big networking girl, but you're able to connect with other people and you're able to open the doors to different collaboration opportunities and referrals and different partnerships because you're, again, showing up as you. You're not just saying, oh, I can only help in this one way. It's saying, hey, here I am as an individual. Here's how I can provide value. Here's how I could serve you and your business or, you know, help you with any of the projects that you got going on because these are my unique talents and skills. I'm confident in, you know, my expertise and my experience, right? All of these things that are making up a personal brand. You're showcasing that and you're leading with you as the cornerstone of what's providing value versus just here's my offers or just here's what I'm good at. Right. It's here is I am as an individual. Here's how I can serve you. And here's my personal brand. And that allows people to really connect with you on a deeper way.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that you are saying that because I think we get all these mixed messages about if you are just starting out, you really have to pick a niche and get really good in that. And I mean, I think that holds us back because most of us are multi-passionate about different things. And we bring our skill sets, they're never going to change, to all these different areas. But then we're like afraid to showcase them because we're like, oh, well, no, I need to be specific. Like for me, for example, I can only be known as the podcast girl. No, it used to actually drive me insane because I'm like, I am so much more than that.
Yeah.
Like I can bring so much more to the table than that because I have all of these skill sets. So
yeah,
when you are working with someone and they might not be as natural to get in front of the camera and to like show who they are a little bit and the highs and the lows, is there any actionable tips or strategies that have helped some of the people in your world get there to establish that better?
Yeah. So it's funny because I was not someone naturally super comfortable being on camera. I would be very shy or I would try and put on a certain persona of being really professional versus being personable because I was so young. Yeah. And I thought, well, no one's going to take me seriously if I'm just, you know, silly or I'm louder or I'm more intense about things. I have to be very steady and very fluid and just keep it professional. Otherwise, I'm never going to get business. And it's so funny because I felt like I had to act as somebody that I wasn't for so long to be taken seriously. And it wasn't until I just started being myself that I started getting taken more seriously and really building a community that resonated, which is really cool. But honestly, I know it's so cliche to say, and we hear it all the time, but the only way that you're going to get better at it is to consistently show up and do it. Practice is the only way that you're going to understand, oh, well, I don't like when I say like a lot, or I make too many pauses, or for me, I tend to talk really, really fast. So I've been working this year on slowing down a bit and talking a little bit slower and thinking before I'm speaking instead of just talking a mile a minute. like I'm an auctioneer, you know, running something off. And so there's things that I've noticed that I've had to be really mindful of, and I'm constantly refining. And so even though I'm 9 years in, I'm still refining, but I'm not overthinking to the point where I don't show up, because I think that's what a lot of creators do to their detriment is, well, I'm not perfect at it now. You never will be. Well, I'm not great at it now. You can be if you keep working on it. It doesn't come natural to me. It doesn't have to. It's a skill that can be developed. These are the things that I'm constantly talking about with students and people that are saying, well, Kayla, you just have it easy. I said, well, I've had to work, you know, really hard to have it easy. I've put in a lot of reps and you have to get your reps in to feel comfortable and confident in doing this, because it's not natural for us to just turn on a camera and start talking to a screen. That is so not natural. 100%. And I do love talking, and I was always the kid that got in trouble for talking, but talking to a screen is very much different. And so I had to learn not to overthink and to just do it and refine it as I go, that done is better than perfect. And so I would say, get really comfortable being uncomfortable showing up on camera until you get to a point where you are more comfortable and confident, and you can kind of do it without thinking about it and overthinking about it, and get those reps in.
Yeah. I honestly, when you said being personable versus professional, I think a lot of people can resonate with that, right? Because we get hung up on that and we're like, well, nobody's going to take us seriously unless this is how we show up.
Yeah.
But you just stating that you didn't actually become successful until you started showing that more personal side. That's pretty powerful. And I think we need to listen to that and just be kind to ourselves and to just start slowly, but start and find an area that you're more comfortable in leaning into that. And then expand from there, right? Because, it's putting in the reps is so, so important. We're not good at all the things. I remember the first few episodes, and I tell most of my clients that too. Your first few episodes on your podcast are really not going to be great.
It's just like your first few
They're just not. And I remember having to put like sticky notes, because I'm a big sticky girl, on my monitor, because there was like words that I kept repeating. And I was like, God, I know I can edit them out, but I really got to get better at that, because it's crazy how we are just our worst critic, right?
We are.
If we keep listening to that negative critic in our head, we don't allow ourselves to see what's possible. So
totally.
Such good advice. What are you seeing in the creator economy? Because that is such a big term and such a big word, but are you seeing any new things that are coming from your experience and working with all the brand sponsorships and stuff that you have had the opportunity to do? Are you seeing anything different?
Yeah. So I'll first start off with a nerdy stat, because I love research. I love numbers. But Goldman Sachs just came out with research that states the creator economy is currently worth $250 billion. And by 2027, it's actually supposed to double to $480 billion, which is nuts.
So that's insane.
There's a lot of controversy on whether or not the market's too saturated and, oh, I got in too late. That statistic right there shows you haven't gotten in too late. We're really just getting started, to be honest, because it wasn't until 2020 that this was taken more seriously, because in 2020, influencers and content creators were all brands had to work with. You can't go get models and shoot in person. You can't do these huge advertising campaigns. People aren't really leaving their house. So investing in billboards or in pop-ups at the mall or in stores are not as valuable as all the online content that's circulating. They wanted to take advantage of that. And so we're 4 years into that now, and we're still seeing a lot of changes. We're still seeing a lot of growth, and the numbers are proving that to be true, right? They're backing up what we're seeing on a smaller scale, because there's never been more money in this space than there is right now. And there's going to continue to be more money poured into it. And so I am seeing the era of personal brands really develop right now. People are starting to understand, oh, I don't have to just pick the one thing. I can be known for me and monetize who I am as an individual. We're also seeing micro and nano influencers. So anyone under about 50K, they're starting to get prioritized. And what's really nice about micro and nano influencers is they allow brands not to break the bank, because brands do have budgets that they're working with. And obviously, like any business, you're trying to stretch the budget as far as it can possibly go. But beyond that, you know, micro and nano influencers, studies reveal that they actually engage 60% more of their community than bigger names, right? It's a tighter knit community. And so that means that brands are able to better connect with those influencers or creators' audiences the impact is more meaningful with different campaigns. And so there's a switch that's happening where brands are not just working with these macro celebrity influencers. There's definitely a time and place for those, but there are more spaces and opportunities for now micro and nano influencers, which is really exciting. We're seeing more long-term partnerships versus just one-off deals. So before, brands were really nervous and kind of twitchy about doing influencer marketing and whether or not it was actually going to prove an ROI and if it was going to be valuable. And so they would do these one-off campaigns only and say, well, we'll pay you $500, post this piece of content, and then fingers crossed, let's see if it works. Brands obviously saw that it was working and that if they had one creator work with them over 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, that would actually increase the ROI and allow there to be further engagement, allow there to be further conversions. It was just better overall. And so brands are now trying to implement that more where they can of working with smaller amounts of creators over longer periods of time versus massive amounts of creators over short periods of time. We're also seeing long form video and, funny enough, horizontal video that's starting to make a comeback. There is another statistic. I'm a big nerdy girl, but 59% of Gen Z has actually been turning to short form video apps to discover things that they want to watch longer versions of. So they'll go on TikTok and it's a clip of a YouTube video that's 20 minutes. And then that's what ends up incentivizing them to go watch the longer form YouTube video. And so they're kind of scrolling through short form to see what they want to watch long form. And so it's definitely making a comeback. So YouTube is really hot right now. We're now seeing, I think, 10 minutes, even up to, I think, potentially 30 minutes on TikTok. So that's getting to be really big. Podcasts, I think, are also just making a massive, massive comeback this year. And more people are starting them and then adding the video element to podcasts because people don't want to just listen. They want to watch, right? The conversation unfolding as well.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, and I kind of alluded to this at the beginning, but it's becoming more of a viable career path to be an influencer, a content creator, just an entrepreneur in the creator economy influencer space full time. It's not seen as just a hobby anymore. Absolutely. You have your select group of people that think it's stupid and you're wasting your time and it's never going to make any money. There's always going to be people like that. But majority of people are starting to kind of understand or at least respect, even if they don't agree, they're starting to respect and say, okay, I can acknowledge that this can be a viable career path. I'm not saying it's a great one, but I can acknowledge it can be, right? And before it was just, you're dumb, you're wasting your time, this isn't a real 100%. Job. And that was the end all be all. And now people, we have, you know, more studies came out where a lot of college students or even high school students were being asked, well, what do you want to do when you graduate? And a lot of people are saying, well, I want to be a full-time content creator, an influencer, right? Or travel full-time. And that's very much possible right now, more than it ever has been before.
It absolutely is. There's so many good nuggets that you gave there. I'm interested. There's a couple that I want to pull out. And one of them is a trend, and I think you kind of alluded to it, about brands not advertising, just like people don't want to just see the brands, but they want to see behind the scenes of the brand. So for example, one of my favorite TikTokers that I follow right now, she's like a private chef for a particular brand and business, right?
Yes, so I love those videos.
Right. They're like my favorite.
Yes.
I mean, the love of food on top of everything else. But you get to see this like curated day in the life of in, you know, this house in or brownstone in the West Village. And it's cool. It's so cool. And I think that is something that we want to see more of, right? And not just like this completely picture perfect curated feed, but what's behind that? What got them there? And what are they doing daily? And do they have meetings from home? And like, what does that even look like? So I think that's super interesting and cool. But you're right, that long-term content is not going away. It's only becoming more and more. And then what I would also love to know what your thoughts are on, because you mentioned the like the smaller brands. So businesses like sponsoring smaller brands to be able to get that ROI. But I'm also seeing like that uptake and people just don't really know how to enter this area, but the smaller podcasts as well, because there's such a really intimate and engaged audience with some of these podcast hosts. And maybe they don't have like a gazillion downloads, but they sure have an engaged smaller audience. So that power of, you know, 100 or power of 1000, are you seeing there being some potential there for sponsorships within podcasts as well?
Oh my goodness. Yes. So on the Allura side. So Allura Society is the talent agency that I run with my friend. Right. And we get requests all the time for our girls that have podcasts. Hey, could we do an Instagram reel, but then also a 30-second podcast ad? So there is a crazy amount of ways that you can monetize through brand partnerships. It's not just social media. I've monetized it through speaking engagements and hosting events. And there is podcasting out there. There's so many different things. And so absolutely. And if you can show the numbers of this is who you're going to reach and this is how engaged that they are and here are my ideas and really customize that, then you could be pitching for podcast ads on your show right now. You know, it doesn't have to be 100%. Until you have, you know, 100,000 monthly viewers or whatever. It can be, hey, I have a really strong engaged audience that are interested in these things. And this is how often they listen in or how many episodes that they're consuming. You know, sharing those stats and giving that concrete data along with customizable ways that you can see yourself partnering with that brand is going to be key, but it's 100% possible.
Yeah. And not only customize like what you can offer, but also thinking outside of the box of like who those sponsors could potentially be.
Yeah.
Because I'm hearing like more and more entrepreneurs that have offers like coaching offers or memberships that are looking outside of Facebook ads because they're over that and they want something different. And honestly, if they know they could get one or two people into their membership or into their offers or into their containers or whatever it looks like from your podcast episode just in 1 month, like that pays for it itself.
Yes, absolutely.
So like, I just think there's so many creative ways to start in this world of, you know, partnerships, and we need to be open to it no matter what stage of the game we're in, because every stage brings something to the table. But I think knowing your numbers and knowing your value again of what you can offer and who your audience is really, really important when you are pitching, and being very customizable, not cookie cutter approach that a lot of people take. And I think that's just the downfall of some people. But
totally.
Yeah, so much opportunity out there. I loved this conversation. I could keep talking about all the different sides of your journey and where you are and the success that you've had. Is there anything that, before we wrap up, that you'd like to hit on?
Yeah, I would just say that when you're pursuing a career in this space, there will be rejection that you face, and that's normal. Still, again, 9 years in, having worked with hundreds of brands, a lot of household name brands, and you know, working with clients that have worked with a lot of crazy people and that are just some of the best of their best in their field. We all still deal with rejection. We all still deal with being told no. We all still can get passed up for an opportunity we thought would be really great for us or that we really wanted. And that's part of this industry. And so I would just encourage everyone listening to, number one, just refuse to be defined by rejection of, you know, other people for opportunities that you want or things that you're going after, or even defined by rejection of what people might say about you and them saying, well, it's not a real job, or there's no money in it, or this is silly, or it's just a hobby. You can't actually monetize it. Mm-hmm. Don't be defined by that. You know, don't be afraid to really trailblaze your own path and block out the noise, keep your blinders on, and commit to failing forward, because you're going to mess up. You're not going to get it right every single time. You're going to have moments where you trip or you make a mistake, or you know, you could have done better looking back. But if you commit to failing forward, you always win, because regardless of whether or not it turned out the way you wanted to, you're always going to find more clarity in doing and in showing up and experimenting and in trying, that it's never truly a loss. If you refuse to be defined by rejection or defined by where you could have done better, you're always going to win. And so those are the things I would leave for y'all.
Such a good perspective and a way for us to not be so hard on ourselves.
Exactly.
Things maybe not turning out the way we wanted to. It's funny, but you don't know until you try.
Exactly.
Right? And there's certain things in your business that you're like, ooh, I want to lean into that. And that was good. I tried that, but it's not something that really brings me joy. And I mean, if it's not bringing you happiness, I talked to this other very successful coach here not too long ago. And that was one of her biggest pieces of advice was, do things that bring you joy, because that's how you'll keep showing up if it does. Mm-hmm. Just like you're bringing back these in-person events. You can totally tell when you talk. It lights you up. And I think that's important, because that's why we're doing all this hard work. Entrepreneurship is not easy. If it was,
everyone would do it.
It's so true. It's so true. I loved this conversation. If people are looking to find out more about what your in-person events might be next, to get on the wait list, to not miss out, to learn more about brand partnership and all the good stuff that you do, where can they find you?
Yeah. So please come connect with me on Instagram or on Threads. As you know, those are my two favorites. But if you're listening to this, send me a DM. Let me know that you are listening. I would love to connect with you. And then I have tons of resources as well that can help you on your brand partnership journey. I have a beginner's guide to brand partnership, and I have a negotiation playbook, and I have an events wait list. So if that's something that you're interested in, you're craving that in-person community and connection, then all of that is in my Stand store. I'm sure it's linked in show notes and everything. So those are some of the best places to start. But yeah, please DM me and let me know that you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I let you go, I always love ending with kind of just a reflective question. And I am really excited to hear what your thoughts are, because I know you've reached so many different levels of success in this journey, in this, you know, not even 10 years of entrepreneurship, which just blows my socks off. But what is your definition of success?
Oh, man, it's a loaded question, because it's funny. This was actually part of the workshop I just taught at the in-person event at Freedom to Flourish. And for me, I actually define success on three distinct categories. So number one, my core values. Number two, my vision for the future. And then number three, my why. So my core values are authenticity, community, boldness, faith, and leadership. And then my vision for the future is really the answer to the question of, regardless of your current obligations, what do you want to do most right now? So for me, that looks like scaling my talent agency, hosting events, traveling to speak, writing a book one day, and then consulting for brands. And then that last piece of my why for showing up is actually the answer to the question of not, you know, just your typical why that we always hear, but actually, who are you broken for? It's a question that was posed to me in the book, You Are the Girl for the Job by Jess Connolly. And so for me, there's a lot of girls that I'm broken for, but one of them on the topic of business is the girl who has really big entrepreneurial dreams, but severely struggles with imposter syndrome. Who I'm actually broken for is actually the younger version of myself. And so with that, it always keeps me focused on, you know, why I'm showing up. And so if I am living in alignment within those three categories, my core values, my vision for the future, and I'm focused on, you know, who I'm broken for, my why for showing up, then in alignment with that, I'm living my version of success.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to like reference that book for sure. Cause I always love like, yeah, what are people listening, or what are they listening to or reading? And
yeah,
because it's just like a forever journey of learning. That's what life is all about. And well, it is for me for sure. And
yes,
and I think with those three questions, right, it just really does give you that good foundation, so that when, I mean, this is a lot of ebb and flow, like there's low points and there's high points. And when you're in those low points, you really want to make sure you have a solid understanding of why you're doing what you're doing and your core values. And yeah, that was just a great way to wrap up this conversation. So thank you again for your time. It was so fantastic meeting you on Threads and now here in person virtually. It's so crazy. But I hope people reach out and find you, because there's so many amazing opportunities in this arena, in this online space. And if we're just open to trying one or two new things in this next quarter, like, amazing what could potentially happen for you and your business. So
yes, totally agree. Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so on your favorite media player, and come check us out over on YouTube, where you have full access to our episodes on video there. You can check out the important links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes, and please join the conversation over on Instagram at May and James Co. I'll see you next week.